Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Art holds a mirror up to society, so it's no surprise there's a long tradition of artists raising awareness and addressing social justice issues through their art. Using a range of art, be it visual, interactive, or performative, artists can engage communities and highlight important cultural and societal concerns. In this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon is joined by Wilmington Recovery Cafe director Michael Kalmbach, founder of the former Art Center Community Mental Health Program Creative Vision Factory that's now part of the cafe, for more on the intersection between art and social justice.
The relationship between art and social change, social justice, really, is a longstanding one. It's nothing new, but it surely takes and has taken varying forms throughout time. From your view, how do you think, you know, what defines art and social justice? How are the two connected?
Well, you know, I think that the two are connected on a really like simple level, and that like we need to, it's a work of imagination. You know, it's like we need to imagine that things could be like measurably better than what they are now. And if we don't have a picture of what that better version of things looks like we would just never achieve it. It would just never happen. And so I feel like almost every political campaign is a work of artistry and a work of poetry. You know, you're telling a story. You're telling a story about like how things could come together, how things could take shape, and also too like presenting an analysis. And so I always loved my time here in Delaware with that kind of proximity to the political machine, because you get to hear and see these narratives that get written off of, you know, our hopes and dreams and aspirations for a more just, more beloved community. And for me, it's like, I don't think that there's anything more artistic than that. I often will use an example of one of my heroes in the community art space, Rick Lowe, who is the founder of Project Row Houses in Houston, Texas. And back before Project Row Houses happened, he was an artist working in Houston, and he was making paintings that kind of referenced what he needed. And there's this young kid who looked at his art and said, look, like we already know all that. If you're an artist and can make anything, how about you make something that we need? And that kind of critique of Rick's paintings from this kid really like opened up a whole world for Rick. And, you know, this is ultimately what like, you know, leads to the creation of Project Row Houses, a wildly successful organization, but it's centered around the rehabilitation of row houses in a historically Black neighborhood in Houston. And so seeing the success of Project Row Houses today, like it is, you know, it might look like a community development project. It might look like an affordable housing project. It might look like a program catering to young mothers who need daycare assistance, but ultimately it's also a work of art. And so, I don't know, I think it's definitely fused, you know, if you're going to have the better society, you know, it's also a craft too. You know, it's like we have a craft of going about trying to make things, you know, like I said, measurably better, measurably more healthy. And so I really do see kind of like this community building, community development as an imaginative project.
It's imaginative. It, you know, basically holds up a mirror to society, to the community. I feel like we're seeing more of it these days than we've ever seen it before. But anecdotally, do you think we're seeing an increase in cultural and social activism, essentially, in the arts?
I don't really think so. I think that like maybe the awareness of it is great, but like I would say that it's really been our bread and butter from the jump. You know, I think that it's never gone anywhere. There's this really great podcast I like to turn people on to, and it's called Change the Story, Change the World with a guy named Bill Cleveland. And what's wild about this podcast right now, it's kind of like also like an archive of all kinds of artists internationally who are using their work to make like really meaningful, lasting change. You know, I often will listen in to Change the Story, Change the World just for inspiration of, you know, that this is a really rich, deep tradition. I think as rich and as deep as like any kind of modern art trajectories that you might read about in an art history class, you know, artists kind of embedding themselves in community, using these skills of, you know, art, music, dance, poetry. I mean, this full spectrum of practices to really kind of co-create, you know, and bring the artwork kind of out of the studio space, out of the kind of like the genius alone in the garret, and like out in community, in beloved community, you know. And so I think then too, when you get people together around art and music, I forget the quote or who said it exactly, but it goes something along the lines of, you know, people who sing and dance, it's not that it has an impact on their life. It is their life.
Is there a right way to do this? Like, what's the difference in, you know, making use of a small public space compared to a large public space, irregardless of that, where this kind of art is done or presented? How much of a difference does that make? Is it just the attention it'll draw, or is it something more? You know, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I feel like, you know, there's so many barriers out in the community. There's so many barriers to practice, and, you know, it can be really hard when, you know, just largely we as a nation don't robustly fund the arts. You know, yeah. The arts seems to be caught up in this charity model. It's kind of like this extra, you know, so I don't know. I think that there's, you know, institutionally, there may not be many opportunities. And then two, it's like, who's underwriting your work in this field? And I think what's fascinating with artists of kind of my generation is that a lot of us were trained, a lot of us, you know, are beneficiaries of Masters of Fine Arts programs that proliferated all over the country. But we're seeing a constriction of the field, a constriction of the jobs here locally in Delaware. We saw the closure of the Delaware College of Art and Design. It seems like these private art schools are the first that are kind of dying in this ecosystem. And so I don't know, I think there's a lot of power in working in community and working in this nonprofit sector. But I really do feel like we need to get outside of this charity logic and understand the benefits and the outcomes that we could get from really deep core investments.
Yeah. And for the artists themselves, you know, it's about, as you said, it's about the process. It's about community in this context. You know, again, when you look at the artists themselves, I think when you're doing this out in such a public space, with so many eyeballs on it, regardless if you're doing graffiti, a mural, dance, whatever it is out in public, it would seem particularly difficult, at least to an extent, for those who do decide to use art as a tool in this sense. It can be, you know, it can be a risk, I think, in ways, as much as it can be therapeutic in others, you know, because you're making a stand of sorts. You're making a statement you can't take back. So I guess, what do you think about that in terms of the decision making there, and how much of a, maybe not a barrier, but I think a challenge that can be?
Well, I think then too, it's like when we think about work that is like overtly political, you know, it's like you might think about like, you know, like pictures of like people making paintings saying like save the whales, you know. So if we want to be like real literal, you know, sometimes like when you're real literal in the work, I mean, it can really kind of like maybe narrow your audience. But if we're really trying to do the like deep craft and deep investigation and are involved in a long-term project that is really looking at kind of, you know, generational change. I recently heard a conversation with a doctor, therapist, and writer that I really admire. Dr. Gabor Mate was talking with the meditation teacher Tara Brach. And Tara mentioned that she heard that somebody talked about that perhaps like in talking about peace in the Middle East, that we really need to talk about a 500-year plan. You know, even the concept of a 500-year plan seems to me like a contribution from an artist or a poet. And if we, you know, if thinking that far ahead or thinking through that many generations can kind of take the heat off of us or the pressure for this to particularly work or for this to be effective or for it to meet your target audience, like just look about it, like how much of the analysis for success that we've absorbed from like kind of corporate America and kind of project management worlds, you know, like we may not have any idea what our, you know, like what our projects have had or like how this seed will kind of really, you know, blossom and take root. But the fact that we continue to try, continue to explore and kind of stay curious, I really feel like, you know, that's where some really deep, powerful change happens when we begin to like legitimately like change stories and change the narrative and tell ourselves different stories. And again, too, I think it comes back to like a, I think largely a lot of what we're up against is failures of imagination, you know, not being able to imagine something different. And so too, it's like that's where I just really, you know, I trust the work of creativity and artists. And then too, it's like you know, in this kind of world where everything is kind of, you know, where our arts are funded through this kind of charity analysis, professors of mine used to always love to tell me, Michael, they're not going to fund your revolution. You know, it's like you can't be like going into these funders trying to get them to like undo the whole system. You know, it's like we got to come at it untying these knots sometimes in really kind of creative, imaginative ways, but also in ways that we're doing and seeking change right in plain sight. And you know, even a failed project might be something that a generation down the line might be able to pick up and complete. You know, I really feel like too, it's like a sense of kind of time and tradition. I don't know, now that I'm like in my mid-40s, I think it kind of lands with me a little differently. I think I definitely had a deeper sense of urgency in my mid-20s that I wanted stuff to happen like right now. Like nothing could happen fast enough.
Thanks to Creative Vision Factory founder and Wilmington Recovery Cafe director Michael Kalmbach and Arkham McKinnon for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. And we wrap up the green next with Enlighten Me, where we examine why seasonal allergies are peaking in Delaware and how you can treat them. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.